Friday, August 3rd, 2018, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly. We are coming to you from the Mile High City. We are right here in Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single weekday. We talk sports with a dose of common sense, and we are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Friday to you. We have made it through another work week, just a few more hours, and you will be on to your weekend. Hey, if you'd like to contact us, let us know maybe what you're going to be doing this weekend. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. You know, we do post a link to the podcast over on Facebook and Twitter every single day. But if you'd like to reach out and contact us, maybe you have a suggestion, maybe you have a comment, bring it. We would love to hear what it is that you have to say. We do get some questions over there. Try to get you an answer over there to your questions that you might have for us, but we would love to hear from you. Hey, today on the show, we do have a number of things coming out in the world of breaking news that we do want to touch on. And as we do on many Fridays, we will have our weekend preview, let you know what might be out there for you to watch over the next 2 days. And as we do on most Fridays, we will also have our Daily Dose Top 5, a staple of the show since it began. You never know which way the Daily Dose Top 5 is going to go. I have a feeling that after the week we have had this week, where we have started to discuss some football things. Football season is coming very, very quickly. We know the preseason started last night. I have a feeling the Daily Dose Top 5 could have a little football flavor for us today on this Friday. Hey, jumping into a few things coming out in the world of breaking news and starting off in college football, where it looks like defending national champion Alabama is going to be the number one team in that preseason coaches poll. Meanwhile, the Ohio State Buckeyes come in at number 3. This despite the fact that we all just got the news that Urban Meyer is out on administrative leave while that whole situation about him is being investigated. Pretty high ranking for Ohio State. I'm not sure when they cast these ballots. And I just wonder if they would have casted those on Thursday as opposed to Wednesday, would they have been a little bit different? There's a little bit of confusion around that Ohio State program right now. Not sure that would have been the same. Meanwhile, the Alabama Crimson Tide got 61 of those 65 first place votes from the coaches. 3 votes did go to Clemson, who does come in at number 2. And then 1 vote did go to Ohio State. Urban Meyer, we know that was you. Then we have the Georgia Bulldogs, who won the SEC last year. They actually played in that national championship game against Alabama. They came in at 4. The Oklahoma Sooners came in at 5. Washington, who is probably the favorite in the Pac-12, came in at 6, followed by Wisconsin, Miami, Penn State, and Auburn finishes out the top 10. You know, over the past 5 years, if you just were to put down Alabama, Clemson, and Ohio State in your poll, yeah, you're probably going to be pretty accurate. It is amazing the run that those 3 teams have gone on over these past few years. And next year, when Urban Meyer is like the offensive coordinator at Alabama, it's going to be crazy too. Because then who do you vote for? Like, you have to give a lot of votes to Alabama, don't you? I don't know if he's doing that. Just throwing that out there. I mean, think about it. Steve Sarkisian and Lane Kiffin kind of did their image rehab down there under Nick Saban. Why not Urban Meyer next? I'm just kind of lobbing that idea out there. College football is coming, and it is coming quickly. Over in the NFL, just like we said yesterday, the New England Patriots went out and signed a veteran wide receiver. Hey, told you that was coming. After they cut Jordan Matthews, you figured that they might have to make a move. I thought they might go get Dez Bryant. Yeah, that's not who the Patriots went with. The Patriots instead grabbed Eric Decker. Decker is 31. He is entering his 9th NFL season. He actually just caught 54 passes for 563 yards and 1 touchdown with the Tennessee Titans last season. Now, you might remember Eric Decker has also played for the New York Jets. He has also played for the Denver Broncos. And he has made 439 receptions for over 5,800 yards and 53 touchdowns in his career. That's not too bad. Like I said, I thought the Patriots might go in a different direction, but they go with Eric Decker. Now, let me just warn New England Patriots fans right now, having seen Eric Decker here in Denver in his prime. I mean, Denver is the team that drafted Eric Decker. I saw Eric Decker probably at the height of his game. As good as he was going to get, he was here. And I'll just let the Patriots know what they're getting. First off, Eric Decker is going to be a solid guy in the locker room. He's not going to be negative. He's not going to be causing problems. He's not going to be tearing things up. That's not him. He'll be a good guy in the locker room. Eric Decker will make some improbable catches. There will be times that Tom Brady will throw up a pass to Eric Decker and you'll be like, there's no way he's coming down with that. He will somehow make improbable catches. I don't know what it is, but sometimes he can go up and he can make catches that will surprise you. Also, Eric Decker will drop passes that hit him right in the numbers. You might see Eric Decker trip over, let's say, the yard lines. Like sometimes he just gets all excited and he'll just fall down for no reason whatsoever. Oh, and also, he'll probably be injured for most of the season because that's what we've seen recently. Eric Decker just can't stay healthy. Now, this is the move that the New England Patriots made to solidify their wide receiver core. We know they need some help at wide receiver. Julian Edelman's going to be serving that suspension. Chris Hogan is about the only other wide receiver. You go and you get Eric Decker? That's the guy, huh? I mean, he's a veteran, so I guess I get that part of it. And I mean, he is, you know, white, so I guess there's that, but I don't know. I thought the Patriots might go with something else there. That surprised me a little bit. One story coming out in the world of college basketball that I did want to touch on. Former Louisville basketball coach Rick Pitino intentionally failed to notify University of Louisville officials that a former agent and Adidas executive were involved in the Cardinals' recruitment of Brian Bowen, according to court records filed by the University Athletics Association's attorneys on Wednesday. Bowen's family allegedly received $100,000 from Adidas for him to sign with Louisville back in June of 2017. The school said that Rick Pitino ignored red flags after hearing allegations that DePaul had offered Bowen $200,000 to play basketball there. Who knows where this is all going? When I look at the Rick Pitino situation right now, I have serious, serious doubts whether he will ever coach again. It would have to be in the NBA, and I don't even know if that's even a possibility. Rick Pitino was involved in some shady things at Louisville. I don't know exactly what happened, but the evidence that is coming out and some of the things that are coming out, they don't look good. They certainly don't look good for him to be at a state university. That's a for sure. Now, along with this news, there is also some news coming out that Rick Pitino is going to lay out exactly what happened in everything. Rick Pitino says he will put all his cards on the table and discuss his life in coaching in a new book that is set to hit the shelves in September. Are you reading the Rick Pitino book? Hey, I remember the last time Rick Pitino laid something on a table, you know, in that Italian restaurant a few years back. Yeah, go ahead and keep the stories to yourself, Rick. I'm not sure I want to hear any of your stories. I don't need to hear about pasta prematura or whatever was going on at that Italian restaurant. I don't think I want to know the stories of Rick Pitino. That sounds like a sordid, dirty tale. I don't think I'm going to read that book. Hey, coming back, we will be previewing the weekend in sports. We all know at this time of the year, it's not going to be great, but we do have a few things that you might want to tune in and see. I can't believe I'm saying this. There are actually some pretty interesting Major League Baseball series coming this weekend. Plus, we do still have to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. Okay, so let's shift over to our weekend sports preview. You know, we try to do this every week. We try to look at some upcoming events over the weekend just to make you aware of a few things that you might have missed otherwise. We try to just let you know when you should be near a TV or some sort of a device to keep an eye on certain events that are coming up. Because again, no one likes to be that person that just didn't know. Hey, did you see the big game last night? The what? I had no idea. Well, you should have listened to the Daily Dose because we let you know some of these things in advance. And not only do we let you know when they're coming, we do also do our best to pick the games because sports gambling is coming. We're going to see if we can make some money when it does come out here in Colorado. Now, last week, we went 3-1. What can I say? It was a quiet week, but still, we were in the money. I know 3-1 is not great. We didn't pick very many things. There's not much out there right now, but we were in the money. And again, this will probably be another lean week, but here is a little bit of positive news for you. This is the final week that we will not have some sort of football being played over the weekend. I know it's just going to be some preseason games for a while, but football is coming, and I, for one, absolutely cannot wait. Now, remember, all times given are mountain time zones, so adjust accordingly, but here are a few things that you might want to tune in for over the weekend. Now, like I said, there are some decent baseball series out there, and if you want a good series to start with, this might be it, because tonight at 5 p.m., we have a good old-fashioned rivalry going all weekend as the New York Yankees actually started up in Boston last night. They will have a four-game series with the Red Sox that will either give Boston a bigger lead or it will let the Yankees get back in the hunt for that American League East. Now remember, Aaron Judge is out for the Yankees. He has that wrist injury. We don't have any idea how long he's going to be out. Can the Yankees overpower the Red Sox pitching rotation without Aaron Judge? Or are the Yankees going to have to do something that we all kind of forget they can do? They could still go make a trade. Yes, it'll be a little bit different after the trade deadline. There are some contract things they'd have to work out, but they can still go get someone, even if it's just a rental, until Aaron Judge gets back. Boston versus New York over this weekend should be interesting. If they're going to struggle for a while without Judge, the New York Yankees could get themselves in some trouble. Forget the American League East. They could get themselves in serious trouble for even a wild card berth. Can't believe we're saying that. But right now, I don't know how much faith I have in the New York Yankees. I will take the Red Sox at home to win this series. Now, over in the National League tonight, we have another decent divisional series. This one is in the National League West, as the San Francisco Giants, they started their four-game series with the Arizona Diamondbacks last night. And you know, the Giants are sitting in fourth place right now in the West. But the West is still pretty tight. San Francisco is just 5 games back of Arizona. They could make up some serious ground here. Now, I have some doubts about San Francisco being able to hang with the big dogs anywhere. Their pitching is inconsistent. Their bats tend to disappear at times. But I don't know how much faith I have in Arizona. Arizona is another team that sometimes their bats kind of go to sleep. I'll go with Arizona in this series at home, but Giants versus Diamondbacks all weekend. Okay, that's not terrible. Now, I told you that Yankees Red Sox was going to be good. I've got another series that's probably going to be better, because starting tonight at 8 p.m., we have an interleague matchup that legitimately could be a World Series preview, as the Houston Astros head to Chavez Ravine to face the Los Angeles Dodgers in a 3-game series. Now, the Dodgers have to be considered the favorite in the National League. They have as much talent in that lineup as we've seen. Clayton Kershaw is back. We'll see how long he can stay healthy for. Meanwhile, the Houston Astros are the defending champs. And I know they might not be blowing people away like, say, a Boston or even New York, who comes in and just crushes people with their bats. But the Houston Astros still look like they are absolutely the team to beat over in the American League. Now, both the Dodgers and Houston, they've got pitching. They both have hitting. And to be fair, they both still have some guys out battling injuries. If you can't find anything to watch this weekend, take a look at Houston versus Los Angeles running tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. I am actually going to take the Houston Astros on the road to win this series. I still want to see some more consistency from the Dodgers, but hey, Astros-Dodgers, that's a pretty good series all weekend. Moving on to Saturday. Now at 5 p.m., we have the Pro Football Hall of Fame ceremony, where the class of 2018 will be formally enshrined into the halls. Going into the Hall of Fame this year, we've got Bobby Bethard, Robert Brazil, Brian Dawkins, Jerry Kramer, Ray Lewis, Randy Moss, Terrell Owens, and Brian Urlacher. I don't know that I'm going to be able to sit through this and watch this. I might watch a clip here or there. But I mean, if you're just sitting around, maybe on Saturday night, you've had a few drinks, maybe you've had something else, I don't know, and you want to hear Ray Lewis get up there and preach, because Terrell Owens isn't showing up, so Ray will be taking, you know, Terrell Owens' time. Enjoy, I guess. I don't know. I'm not going to watch it, but I guess you could. You know what I'm going to be watching on Saturday night? I'm going to be watching some pretty decent fights over on HBO, because over on HBO, we have two light heavyweight title fights that could be very, very interesting. They might not be quite as good as what they represent happening in the future, but I'm going to be watching the fights on HBO. First and foremost, we have Sergey Kovalev facing Eleider Álvarez, a 12-round fight for Kovalev's WBO light heavyweight title. Now, it's kind of weird to think about this, but Sergey Kovalev, he kind of seems irrelevant in boxing right now. I mean, it's kind of weird to say that, but it wasn't that long ago that Kovalev was one of the most interesting stories in all of the fight game. But then he lost twice to Andre Ward, and we were like, he's been beaten. Who cares? Whatever. Never mind. Kind of sleep on Kovalev now. Forget the fact that both of those Andre Ward fights could have gone to Sergey. One of the decisions was pretty bad. In the other fight, Andre Ward easily could have had points deducted for low blows. They didn't go Sergey's way, and we all kind of forget about him. But don't forget, Kovalev is 32-2-1. He has 28 knockouts, and he has looked good again in these past two fights after Andre Ward. Now, on Saturday, Kovalev will be meeting up with undefeated Colombian fighter Eleider Storm Alvarez, who has very, very good defensive skills and should make Kovalev have to work for this. If he's going to earn a knockout here, yeah, he's going to have to put in some work because Alvarez is a pretty good defensive fighter. Now, can Alvarez mount enough of an offensive attack to actually hurt Kovalev? I doubt it. But if we're lucky, we'll see a good fight. And if we're not lucky, maybe we see another Kovalev knockout. I'm going to take Kovalev in this fight. On the undercard of this fight, we have another solid light heavyweight fight between a young fighter that I really, really am starting to like. Dmitry Bivol has been tearing through the competition. He's 27 years old. He's only 13-0, but he has 11 knockouts. He will be squaring off with Isaac Chalemba, a pretty tough fighter from South Africa that actually went the distance with Kovalev. Now, Chalemba can sometimes look like an awkward fighter, and sometimes that can make a good fighter look bad. I don't think he has the skills to hang with Bivol, but we'll see, because he is a way more experienced fighter. So we'll see if experience pays off over talent. Here is the key to these two fights on Saturday night. If both Kovalev and Bivol win on Saturday, they may be headed to a very, very interesting collision course. I will take Bivol in that undercard fight. Moving on to Sunday, not a whole lot to watch. Like I said, there are those Major League Baseball series that you could tune in for, but we do have the WGC Bridgestone Invitational from Akron, Ohio. All the top names are going to be there. It will be wrapping up on Sunday. Now, was Tiger's showing at the British Open just a fluke? Or can Tiger Woods legitimately contend again? He's playing well so far in this tournament. He loves this course at Akron. And you know, Tiger says he is actually going to be playing 5 of the next 6 tournaments. That's not what Tiger Woods does. So can he hang physically? We should get a hint on Sunday how he's looking at the Bridgestone in Akron. Finally, at 12:30 p.m. on Sunday, we do have that NASCAR group heading to Watkins Glen in New York this weekend to participate in a road race that will be just about as exciting as, I don't know, watching grass grow. Powerful race cars, playing follow the leader for 3 hours. Now, if that doesn't sound like fun, I mean, honestly, what does? Gonna be some good stuff. There is your weekend preview. Hopefully, you can find a couple of things out there to watch this weekend. It is the last weekend that we will be completely without football, so hey, just survive. Hey, coming back, we need to get to our Daily Dose Top 5 like we just talked about. The Pro Football Hall of Fame is inducting their new members this weekend. The Pro Football Hall of Fame game took place last night. But you know, we have a few people that the Hall of Fame, I don't know, apparently they've forgotten about. Just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping to do, you might want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. August Loot Crate theme is out. It is called Mayhem, because wherever they go, mayhem seems to follow. Celebrate some of your favorite havoc-wreaking characters and chaotic moments with exclusive gear and collectibles. August Loot Crate theme features items from Rick and Morty, Office Space, Harley Quinn, and DC Comics, but the best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, just make sure you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order as a thank you for tuning into the Daily Dose, which we do appreciate so much. Now, as we do every single Friday, we have got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. You know, like I said, the Pro Football Hall of Fame game took place last night. And tomorrow night, the Hall is going to be inducting their new members. Now, The Pro Football Hall of Fame is the best of the best. You don't get in there unless you have the respect from all over the country. And yet, sometimes Hall of Fame voters do miss out on some people. There are just so many guys to vote for. Not everyone can make it. And we do see certain guys fall through the cracks. Plus, the Hall of Fame tends to get caught up on certain criteria and allow that to affect their voting. Sometimes the criteria doesn't even make sense, as you will see today on the Daily Dose, as we count down the top five best that are not in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I don't know why, but they keep getting missed. Starting out at number five. Now, this is going to sound like a total homer entry here. Five. And I understand why you might think that, but I can back this up. And no, I'm not just going to go with five Denver Broncos. I probably could. I'm not going to do that. But Randy Gradishar was voted to the NFL Pro Bowl seven times. He was a five-time All-Pro selection. He was even named the 1978 NFL Defensive Player of the Year. There is no question. Randy Gradishar was the heart and soul of one of the greatest defenses in NFL history when he played on those 70s Orange Crush teams. But he suffers from playing in a generation when defensive statistics weren't even kept. And so he's always overlooked, primarily because the Broncos were never held in high regard in the national media. But let's just take a look at how Randy Gradishar stacks up with one of the greatest middle linebackers to ever play the game. Based on film review, playing for 10 seasons, Randy Gradishar racked up over 2,000 tackles in just 145 games. Now let's compare that to a player who's getting inducted tomorrow night. Ray Lewis played for 17 seasons and made just over 2,000 tackles in 228 games. Randy Gradishar averaged 14 tackles a game compared to Ray Lewis's average of 9 tackles a game. But Gradishar is biased against because he didn't win any titles, which is interesting because the Hall of Fame selection committee only drags that out when it suits their narrative. Because look at guys like Chris Dolman, Ricky Jackson, Dick Butkus, and Andre Tippett. They didn't even play for titles. Yeah, that's just a convenient excuse. Because when you look at his numbers and when you actually watch the film and you hear his peers who played with him, Randy Gradishar is one of the best to ever play the game. He absolutely should be in the Hall of Fame. Moving on to number four, you know, not only has our number four entry never been inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, he's never even made it onto the ballot. If you want evidence to his greatness, here is what his head coach Tom Landry said. I don't know that I've ever seen anybody better at linebacker than Chuck Howley. I mean, that has to stand for something, doesn't it? Chuck Howley was the first defensive player to be chosen as Super Bowl MVP, and to date, he is the only player from a losing team to win the Super Bowl MVP. Chuck Howley had 25 interceptions and 18 fumble recoveries over his 15-year career, 13 of which were played in Dallas. He was selected to the Pro Bowl six times. He was a first-team All-Pro five times. So what's the biggest drawback to Chuck Howley getting in? Again, defensive stats weren't kept. So we don't have the crazy tackle numbers for Chuck Howley. Can someone go back, please, and put together his film and we sort out how many tackles he actually had? Because I'm going to assume he had a bunch. Chuck Howley belongs in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Moving on to number three. And this guy was bizarrely Joe Montana before Joe Montana. And you might say I'm crazy, but Kenny Anderson played quarterback under Bill Walsh when Walsh was the quarterback's coach in Cincinnati. And you know, the Cincinnati Bengals had a pretty good offense in those years. Anderson was one of the most accurate passers to ever play in the NFL. In four different seasons, he led the league in quarterback rating. And in the strike-shortened 1982 season, he set a season record, which still holds to this day, completing over 70% of his passes. Kenny Anderson was named the NFL MVP in 1981. Of course, the knock on him is that he never won a Super Bowl. But he took the Cincinnati Bengals to Super Bowl 16, and in that game, Ken Anderson went 25 of 34 for 354 yards and two touchdowns. Of course, he lost to his former coach and his former coach's new pupil in Bill Walsh and Joe Montana. But the fact that Ken Anderson took the Bengals to the Super Bowl, that should automatically put him in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He comes in at number 3. Moving on to number 2. Here is a question for you. What is the greatest defense in the history of the NFL? We could come out with a few answers there. Okay, let's get more specific. What is the best defensive line in the history of the NFL? Now, that might slim down to just 2 or 3 answers. But those steel curtain Pittsburgh Steeler lines of the 70s, yeah, they've got to be in there. And if you're counting the front 7, I don't know that it's that close. That front 7 in Pittsburgh was as nasty as there has ever been. They're probably right at the top. Best lines, best defenses, best front 7s. The steel curtain is right there. Okay, so let's take a look at that group. You have Joe Green. You have Ernie Holmes. You have Dwight White. Jack Ham. Jack Lambert. Andy Russell. And who else was there? Ah, yes. Defensive end L.C. Greenwood, who is absolutely dominant on the left side of that line. L.C. Greenwood's big obstacle is the fact that 9 members of that Steelers team are already in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So we look at it and we say, well, you know what? That's probably enough. But look at Greenwood's numbers. Tell me how he isn't in. Through film study, the Pittsburgh Steelers have said that L.C. Greenwood finished his career with 73.5 sacks. That's more than guys like Cortez Kennedy, Dan Hampton, Junior Seau, who are all already in. And that's just a few less than Howie Long. He's also in. Greenwood did it well, and he did it on the big stage. He actually logged 5 sacks in Super Bowl games. Now, L.C. Greenwood passed away in 2013. It's too bad he didn't get in before then, because L.C. Greenwood belongs in Canton. Okay. So who could our number 1 best that is not yet in the Pro Football Hall of Fame be? Okay, first, let's get the arguments against this guy out on the table. They say he didn't win enough. They say he didn't win a title. They say he has a losing record in the playoffs. And I understand all that. I do. But I'm telling you right now that head coach Don Air Coryell belongs in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And it is absolutely insane that he's not there. Now, you heard the arguments against. Let's go to the arguments for Air Coryell. He did win 111 games. He was the greatest coach in the history of not one, but of 2 different franchises. The fact that he ever won anything with the San Diego Chargers and the St. Louis Cardinals, I mean, you look back at that now, that's amazing. He took the St. Louis Cardinals to the playoffs 3 times in 5 years. Yeah, that doesn't happen. He took the San Diego Chargers to the postseason 4 straight years from 79 to 82. But this is way more than just wins and losses. Don Coryell changed the game of football as we know it. Let's think of some of the things he put in. He put a tight end in motion and then lined that tight end up in the slot, which forced opposing defenses to put in an extra defensive back. So Don Coryell basically created the nickel defense. Don Coryell utilized a single running back in the backfield. He created the passing tree system that simplified route running and route calling. He came up with option routes so that receivers and quarterbacks could actually adjust to coverage as a play unfolded. They would read the coverage and then react to what they saw. Now, think about this. Only one quarterback had ever thrown for 4,000 yards in a season. That was Joe Namath back in 1967. When Dan Fouts did it in 1979. Then he did it 2 more years. Now that milestone has been passed a million times in the 80s. And now we've seen a lot of quarterbacks that have passed for more than 4,000 yards. But at the time, that just wasn't done. In 1979, Coryell's Chargers team was the only division champion that passed more than it ran. And nowadays, every single NFL team passes more than they run. The Chargers offense produced 3 Hall of Famers, wide receiver Charlie Joyner, tight end Kellen Winslow, quarterback Dan Fouts, and Don Coryell orchestrated that offense, and he completely changed the game. Again, how in the world is he not in the Pro Football Hall of Fame? He absolutely should be there. Hey, it is Friday, and we have made it through another week. I hope that you enjoyed our heating up episodes this week. as we started to discuss a little bit of football that is coming. We will see what we can come up with next week as we continue to try to get you ready for football season. Hey, on Monday, we will be back to discuss all of the happenings over the weekend and keep you up on the latest and greatest in the world of sports. I say thank you all so much for listening to the Daily Dose every day. I hope you are enjoying the show. Thank you for listening. Thank you for reaching out. Thank you for sharing the show. It is very appreciated. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all on Monday. Have a great weekend.